Hello, this is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from the Yakima Indian Reservation in South Central Washington State. And it's a great day. Every day that we look towards our Creator is a great day. And our greatness does not depend on the circumstances. It depends on who we are and who we are in Him, especially who our God is, whether we know our Creator or not. And so we have been discussing some things that dealing with prayer that makes things happen. And I just wanted to give you an outline today of this. And so we've discussed on as far as prayer that makes things happen, it must be a part of our lifestyle, my lifestyle or your lifestyle. So things that we can occasionally just pray briefly and sometimes quite often it'll help. But really that for prayer that changes things, it needs to be part of our lifestyle. So it's not an irregular function of our life, but it becomes a part of it. That doesn't mean you're going around closing your eyes and praying all the time. No, most of your prayers are when your eyes are open, really. And as far as this bowing your head and closing your eyes, that is good for some people that are distracted or something. It all depends on how you can communicate with your Lord best without being distracted, with your attention on Him. So that's what's important. So as far as in the car, what music do you listen to? Is it praiseworthy? Does it give glory to God? Are you praising God then? Are you lifting up your voice and your heart and your soul and everything that's within you then? You see, that draws you close to your Creator. You're giving Him glory. You may not know why lots of things are happening. Some are good, lots are bad. But you have to remember that He has given the earth to the dominion of man. He has dominion over the rest of the universe, but He chose to give dominion of the earth over to man. And in many cases, we've sort of made a mess of it. And sometimes we may do things good, but we need to look to Him when we need intervention. And so that's the purpose of prayer. You see, He gets involved here, but only when He is invited, when He is called upon, He is cried out for. Then, you see, because man has dominion here, God takes our permission to get involved. He holds back. If you look to God as being the one who meets the most needs, well, you'd think that God would be mostly in India, with all their desperate needs, especially like Bangladesh or one of those places. But you don't see that. He's a rewarder of those who seek Him diligently, and it's a matter of having faith in God. It's not, all gods aren't the same. There's one true God, not the millions, multiplied millions that are over there, that they pick gods for everything. They are man-made, either man-made or they are certain animals or whatever, and they pick those up. And so they are making the created thing a god to them. Whether it's created by God or created by man has a tendency to want to look towards those things which are already are, or something that He makes, or we become them. You just think of our civilization, where the average household has the TV on 6 to 8 hours a day. Would that be a god? What certainly has come in place of God? It's sort of we have our own programs called idol worship or American Idol. Well, lots of people, that is their idol. They are just hungry for things that entertain to satisfy their their physical or emotional wants without looking toward the God that created them. So that first part is number one, as far as in this whole thing that we are looking at, prayer that makes things happen, prayer needs to become a part of our lifestyle. So it's no longer someplace else or something else, but that is visited occasionally, but it's something that we go to every day. We are, it's like our closest friend. We have a wife or a husband or somebody else that we are close with, our children or parents or something that we might be close to. But as far as having being really intimate, we need to be intimate with our God, with our Creator. Even though we may not know Him fully, we need to be, He says that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So we need to be that kind of people that if we want prayer that makes things happen, in other words, so we're not just giving up prayers up and tossing them up to somewhere, to someone or something. God tells us that Jesus Christ tells us too that we're not supposed to make vain repetitions. We see various religions around the world that they give prayers the same prayer over and 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 over again, and they're vain, what he calls vain repetitions. If we are praying about the same thing over and over again, that's fine as long as it's new every time, it's fresh every time that we have prayed for something. We get the assurance that we have received it even before we see it. And therefore, then we go back to that same prayer, but it comes with thanksgiving. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God. I thank you that I have received those things that I have asked of you, that I have the assurance that they are your will. And therefore, according to your word, if we pray according to your word, that we have those requests that we have made of you. And so after we have made the request and then we've prayed through that to a place that all of a sudden that you know, in our spirit we have the inner assurance that we have those things, that we have already have them, even though we have not seen them with our physical eyes. We see them with our spiritual eyes, though, that then when we come back to prayer in the time waiting between the time that we have them in the spirit and we have them in the flesh, is that we go back and we just revisit that, but not praying the same prayer over again. It's a matter of thanksgiving. It's a matter of thank you, Lord, that I do have those things that you have given to me. So we give praise and glory to God for things that we have, even though somebody else, your neighbor, may say, you don't have that. You're just lying. You're fooling yourself. Well, we are in a spiritual world and a physical world. And things happen in the spiritual world first, and then they manifest in the physical world. Well, if we want good things to happen in the physical world, we better be about our Father's business in the spiritual world, that we can entertain those things that He wants and pray for them, get the assurance that we're going to have them, and we will have them. Now, it says sometimes people don't receive their prayers, but it is for a further generation. Now, most of the time, we can receive our prayers in for ourselves, but sometimes some things are generational, and so we are calling down something, and it might be our son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter that receives the promise that we have attained in the spirit, that we have already put through the fight and the and called forth those things, so we know that they are released. And there's a matter of sometimes it takes a little bit longer in the physical realm because of the timing of God, because it's not only the will of God, but then there is the timing of God for something to occur. And so we have to get both. We are determined to take care of those things that we know are the will of God. Now, His timing is not always like our timing. In fact, rarely is His timing our timing, because we want everything now. And many times we will receive those things that we have asked of Him now. Some things are withheld, by spiritual forces, evil forces. And we see that in the book of Daniel, that it talks about him making a prayer towards God, and that that it says that the God, the angel that came to him, said that from the moment you started praying, we heard, basically. And that's what it says. But there was fighting in the spirit, and there's a demonic force. The kings of Persia and Media were withstanding me that I could not come and give you this answer. So it took 21 days. But within 21 days, even though it was basically answered at the beginning, there was still a warfare in the spirit until there's the outflow in the natural of that answer. So that's what we are looking to. We are looking to have a lifestyle. That's what it is. It's a lifestyle of prayer and thanksgiving. We have to remember the thanksgiving, because it's the thanksgiving and the praise to God that releases his power. You see, when we've got the praise and the thanksgiving to God, what it does is, as according to the scripture, it allows him to inhabit the praises of his people. So if you are praising him and thanking him for those things that you have requested of him, that you have the assurance now that you're going to get them, even though you haven't seen them in the natural, you have seen them as far as because of your love for God, and you know of his love for you, that because you know that he loves you, you are going to receive those things which you have asked. And so you've already received them. So you're thanking him. Now, as I said, like for Daniel, even though the answer was not immediate, it was within the 21 days, because it was the promise. It was the promise that there was a warfare going on, because he was being opposed by Satan. And there was, as far as the satanic forces that were as far as the Medes and the Persians, somehow there was a resistance there that was preventing the answer coming immediately. But we have to have this lifestyle that is a lifestyle of praise and thanksgiving, that we make our requests known to God, and we look and expect an answer from him. Second, that's number one. Number two is a prayer that is shameless in its insistence. So what happens? Because there's a lifestyle of prayer, then we can come shamelessly insistent to our God and ask him for the things that we have need of. So it's not some wimpy sort of thing that we're just, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, do this or something like that. No, that's what those that perhaps in younger days when we might pray. But as we become to know the love of our God for us, he says, the righteous are as bold as a lion, that they come and make their request known to God. So there's a shameless insistence. It's not the wimpy sort of prayer, please do this. No, it's something that is needed. It's needed for, as far as in the kingdom of God, his blessing on your life is needed in the kingdom of God, that you might be a testimony to his goodness. So you can turn around and say, well, lots of people say that just praying to be blessed is not right. Well, it is right in the fact that he does love you, and he does want to bless you, but also it is specifically for his glory in the earth. You see, that you become a testimony to God Almighty, to the power of his love for you, for the power of Jesus' love for you, the power of the Holy Spirit working through you and in other things and other ways to accomplish his purposes. Well, to accomplish his purpose, it's for us to be in the will of God and to have this lifestyle, number one, and number two, this shameless insistence upon God to hear our prayers and to answer our prayers. Number three, this is where we're coming into now. We just started this in the last program, and that was Mark 11, 22, and 24. And for many people, this is a hard read. It's hard to understand. How can this be? So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For sure, this is, as I said again, with the book of Mark in the New Testament. Most of the readings are from Mark. From the New Testament. There are some from the Old Testament we'll be reading, but we want to especially give you the Word of God from the Word of God. We don't want to just say what I'm saying. We want what I'm saying is, as far as I know, is totally based on the Word of God, and that's where I want the foundation, because there's no other foundation that is lasting or everlasting than the Word of God and Jesus Christ. So we look to Him because the Word is truth, and God loves you, and God greatly loves you, and He wants you to be rewarded. But it's for those who diligently seek Him that are rewarded. So we want to come to the Word of God here, and it says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. So it's not in you. You're not, it's not like that. Truly, much is accomplished by people that have faith in themselves. They can go so far. It's a matter of fact that when one that just believes in himself, he can accomplish a whole lot more than if he, you can practically accomplish nothing if you don't believe in yourself. But if you believe in yourself, you can accomplish a fair amount of things. However, with believing in God, you can believe that you can accomplish even more. Plus, when you love the Lord your God, it releases, and you, especially when you give praise to Him, remember, praise is an important thing. Thanksgiving. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanksgiving. I'm grateful. It says in the Bible about the last times there will be a time that people are ungrateful, unthankful. So we don't want to be a part of that, of being ungrateful and unthankful. But we want to remember to be thankful to God. So it says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says, now notice the word says, to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, and we notice the word believe, that whatsoever things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So he's, God is really emphasizing the word saying. There's a matter of there has to be the belief, but you see, there's a belief, but there's three times as much saying, declaring, as there is just the word believe. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So what is this? It's a matter of praying is not hoping for something. You see, hoping for something isn't believing. It's like believing, you're praying, believing, that means that, yeah, if you're praying, you already are positive that you're going to receive an answer for it. So there's this matter of you already have trust in God and that it is the will of God, and you're believing in Him that He has the power, or that even if it's something that you are to accomplish, that He is going to put the Holy Spirit in you in such a way that it will be worked through you for the glory of God. You have to remember, He's not looking for us to be exalted. Now, often we get exalted because He is. If He does something miraculous or wonderful through us, we might get exalted. However, we looked at various instances in Scripture of people that were exalted, that did mighty things, and it said that because they did not give glory to God for what God did through them, that they died immediately. There's a couple of different cases, or died shortly after. And so we want God to use us. We want God to live in and through us. We want His power and His miraculous power to be evident through us. But we must remember to give glory to who glory is due, which is God Almighty. So yes, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, of course, the self-help believers believe that I can do those things. However, it says there comes a limit for what they can do. But with God, we can accomplish whatever He wants us to do. Now, when we have fulfilled our days and we've done what those things that He has called us to do, we have no need to live on in this world. I mean, we can, as long as it's a glory to Him and a testimony to Him and a praise to Him. And you see, those we might say, well, this is all about Him. That's right. It is all about Him. But you see, you are going to be extraordinarily blessed by being just who He calls you to be. He has already placed with you in you certain desires. Now, some of our desires we have placed there ourselves. And so there's a co-mingling of stuff from God and stuff from that is purely us. Now, part of that which is us is giftings that He has already placed in us. So naturally, we're going to be gifted in certain areas, and we should see what God has gifted us with. And if it lines up with the Word of God, if it's not an area of sin, then we should heartily do that for the glory of God. It will give perhaps glory to us, but we need to be sure to give Him the glory for giving us the talent in that area, that He has also helped to develop that in us, and that He empowers us, so we're giving praise back to Him. So we have first the prayer that changes things. Prayer has to be a lifestyle. There has to be a shameless insistence upon things. Then prayer has to have faith in God. This is the third one that we are in right now. Faith has to have faith in God. So there's a lifestyle, shameless insistence, and then faith in God. So that one that I just read was Mark 22 through 24. The next one is Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. There it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, there's various things here right here that we want to look at, especially looking unto Jesus. This is the important thing. What does it say about Him? It says He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So He's the one that if our prayer, when we pray, that it's part of Him, it's part of the Holy Spirit living in us, that He is the author of it and the finisher of our faith. In other words, we can pray with confidence then that this is the will of God, and therefore we can believe that we will have those requests that we have asked of Him. But notice the precursor just before that, what it says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Sometimes it takes endurance, a lot of times. In other words, we are not in a short sprint. We're not in a 100-yard dash or a 100-meter dash. We are in a marathon. So it takes endurance. It says just before that, it says, lay aside every weight and the sin that which so easily ensnares us. We've got weights, but when it comes to running, we don't want to be carrying 20 pounds in each hand when we're running. No, we want to lay aside those weights. We don't want a big backpack on our back, and then try to run a marathon. That is crazy. And it also says the sin. So there's lots of things in our lives that perhaps we need to take a closer look at, and perhaps some of those things we need to lay aside. We have so many things. I have so many things that ensnare us. There's just things there. And sin, as far as there's weight that's not sin that we need to lay aside sometimes, and then there's sin. And sin is different for each person because we are tempted in different ways. We're not all tempted with the same things. Many things are very common to each one of us. But some of us are very strong in certain areas and perhaps weaker in other areas. And we should definitely not come and have, as far as anything is condemnation about anybody else. We are not supposed to judge that way. What happens is, in fact, if you judge that way, it releases, actually gives a foothold for the enemy to come into your life and cause destruction and mayhem in your own life. You see, Jesus calls for us not to judge others. We're supposed to come before him. We're supposed to perhaps the occasional time to judge ourselves, but we're not to go about judging others. You see, when we judge, like if there's something especially wrong that you hate about your mom or your dad, and you judge them, you're likely to have just released the power of demonic activity to come into your life to produce the same thing that you have judged against somebody else. But if you forgive them and release them and just bless them instead, you see, we're supposed to love our enemies. We're supposed to bless those who curse you. Do good to them. That's the word of God. And you see, then it releases you from all those attachments, those snares of the enemy, that sins which so easily beset you. All of a sudden, that breaks the stronghold of the enemy. It takes those footholds and it like pours the oil of the Holy Spirit that even though he's tried to step in those footholds in your life, that it's so slick because of the forgiveness you have given others that he cannot get a hold of you. So blessing others, forgiving others, setting others free, sets you free. You see, you're the winner. You're the big winner when you forgive others. You know, forgiving others or holding something against others doesn't do that much towards the other person, especially if you hold something against somebody, if you don't forgive them their sins against you, it doesn't hurt them nearly as much as it does you. It cripples you. It causes brain cancer or brings other diseases. Many diseases are caused by unforgiveness. I remember one book that came out decades ago that they did a study that the doctors involved believe that 90% of the diseases of those in hospitals were caused by unforgiveness. And I don't know that I agree with that, but I'd certainly agree on two-thirds, three-quarters, 80% in that area, even though the various doctors in that study that believe it's 90%. And it may be 90%. But a whole lot of things are, diseases are caused by unforgiveness or, as far as just not letting things go, as far as trying to control everything ourselves, stressing out about everything, and realize that you don't have the power within you to control everything. You and I are finite, but we've got an infinite God. That's why he says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's not we can do all things through ourselves who strengthens ourselves. No, it's through Christ who strengthens us. That's where the power lies. That's where the Holy Spirit lies. And that's the Holy Spirit that wants to come and love you and infill you. But you see, the Holy Spirit wants to come to a clean vessel. Well, if you don't have a clean vessel, it's the Holy Spirit doesn't want to come in. So it's a simple thing that you and I are fantastic people. Yes, you are a fantastic people, no matter what terrible things you may have done or haven't done. There's only two kinds of people in this world, those who are saved and those who are about to be saved. Now, the question is which one are you? Are you one that's saved or one that's about to be saved? Well, if you can't say that you're one that's saved, I just ask you, that's right, I ask you right now to repeat this after me. And it needs to come as far as it says our believing, our salvation. How does it come? How does it come? It says by believing in the heart and confessing with our mouth. So I just ask you to if you can't say already that you're one that is saved, that means you're about to be saved. So I ask you to repeat this after me. Father, that's right, go ahead. Say it. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. Amazing. Isn't it amazing? Now, do you know where Jesus is? Did you just ask him into your heart? Well, if you did that and you believe that you truly asked God that, asked the Father, that Jesus did come into your heart, and that you can truly say, thank you for saving me. You know, it's an amazing thing in the last month or two, month and a half. I've known a couple people that I was able to have contact with just the last a month ago, I think today or so, earlier this week. You know, a prayer like this is very unusual in one sense, that people have no problem in asking God to forgive their sins. I mean, some people, some may say, well, I'm really that bad, whatever. But let's face it, all of us, according to the Word of God, all of us have sinned. We are all sinners. However, then, you see, what I've seen with people that are full of themselves, or especially ones that are truly demon-possessed, is that they have no problem in praying, Father, forgive my sins. But then they have a problem when they say, Jesus, come into my heart. You see, everybody wants to be forgiven, that unless they're too prideful that they are above forgiveness, and of course, we know that they are yet in their sins, because that's the Word of God, that so anybody that thinks that they are better than somebody else, that they are already, because they have not humbled themselves, they are still in their sins. Their sins are unforgiven. But if we come to the place and we ask for forgiveness of sins, then that is really the first step. But then it's the matter of Jesus coming into my heart. Now, all of a sudden, there's a little bit of resistance there. Because that means not, you see, Father is outside sort of forgiving sins, that's fine. But Jesus coming into my heart, well, that, all of a sudden, somebody else is going to be in me. In other words, I'm not going to have full control. Well, you say the ones that that I've dealt with that have are manifest demonic spirits, women or men, this last month, there's these demonic spirits that don't like the matter of Jesus coming in. But that's still not the bad part for them. It's when they have to say, make me the kind of person you want me to be, that's when the demonic spirits really yell out and scream, no, no. These big deep voices coming out, women or men, whatever. Yeah, because it's the spirits that are apart from you, but in there by your permission, that they're there and they don't mind you praying for forgiveness. They don't like Jesus to be in there with them because there's confrontation. But then when you pray, make me the kind of person you want me to be, and you're praying that to God Almighty, all of a sudden that means there's no room for these demonic spirits in our lives. And they get angry, and they refuse. Well, you appeal to the person as separate from the spirit, and you call upon them to call out to God to come in, and then to be able to pray this. And they have a great deal a great deal of opposition in them to pray this, to say, make me the kind of person you want me to be, Creator. And yet they forcibly try to do that in themselves. And there's great, there's great resistance at first, but gradually it comes. And you repeat that. And all of a sudden, this glow comes on people. All of a sudden, they're set free from these demonic spirits. They are made alive. Their countenance changes. Their life changes. Why do they change so? Because those demonic spirits have to leave. Because all of a sudden, not only is the person's sins forgiven, but Jesus comes into their life. But then when you make, I pray to make me the kind of person you want me to be, that means the Holy Spirit's got to come in there and change you and me. And when he comes in to change you and me, that can change our lives dramatically. That we can go out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light and power and majesty and dominion and greatness. You see, this into this kingdom of love. This is what God wants for you. And then, of course, then it comes easy to say, thank you for saving me. Because this is what happened. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, thank you, thank you for saving me. So we get back to the scripture. It says, we lay aside every weight, every sin that so easily ensnares us. We're going to run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. You don't want to run a race and not know where you're going. That is crazy. All of a sudden you start running and you get tired out because you don't have your, if you don't have a vision, it says, the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. So if you're just running to run, and that's much of today's lifestyle, is a rat race to run because you have been convinced you're supposed to run with endurance, but you don't have any goal or anything in mind, you got a problem. This says that our goal in mind constantly is to looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus Christ, the author, the finisher of our faith. Where do we get faith? It's the faith of God that is imparted to us. So then we have his faith in us. That is what is the one thing that empowers us, that releases the power of our prayers to accomplish things. Do we want our prayers to accomplish anything or not? Otherwise it's vain. It's vain repetition. They're just wish list. It's your Santa Claus list. This is what I'd like to happen. But if you want power and life to come in, then it needs to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So he's the one working that faith in and through us. So we're having faith in God, but it's also the faith of God in us working that out. That's right. He's not faith only. We're not only having faith in him, but we're having also the faith of God because we are getting his nature in us, and because of his nature coming in us, that his faith comes in us, and truth and light and grace comes in us, and love comes in us, that empowers us to do those things. Another scripture in the Bible says, faith worketh through love. If there's not that love of God, and therefore love for our fellow man, then how can faith work? See, we've been reading these things about faith, but we have to remember that faith worketh through love. Let's go on. We've got the next thing. We said that those three major things, major headings, are that prayer has to be a lifestyle. It has to be a shameless insistence. It has to happen to have faith in God. And even if you look in the Greek, it even says the faith of God. Well, the only way we can have faith of God is to have faith in God. And by having faith in God and knowing his great love for us, and his love comes into us, then we can begin to have the faith of God as well. So the next place we want to go to is James, the book of James, towards right near the end of the Bible, and it's James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. There it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And we go on, read the other two verses as well. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, that's basically if we're praying and saying, we're praying for something and then we're going back. It's so common for us, for you and for me to do that. We can have faith one day and then somebody will ask us about a situation and then we'll rehearse all the problems about the situation. And so we have to get past that double-mindedness. You know, that's what we have. Quite often we'll have this double-mindedness. That's because we don't know God well enough. You see, if we knew God well enough and his love for us, then we wouldn't be double-minded. See, when we're concentrating on ourselves and our own inabilities, then of course we're double-minded because we've got thoughts of our own. We look at ourselves rather than look at God. We look at ourselves, we know that there's problems. And so it's easy to be double-minded then. So that's where we go back to that prior verse we were talking about as far as looking upon Jesus. We get our eyes off Jesus, we get our eyes on anybody else or ourselves. Of course we can get to the double-minded place real easy. It's easy to, it's not even real easy to have faith for one day, but we can get into a place of faith for one day. But then when people ask us, what are we going to say then? Okay, now, this might be a difficult thing, but we have to get the Word of God in us. Now, they ask you how I feel, or how you feel, and we have to be careful what we say. We don't say, oh, I feel great. No, it says, well, you can be honest and say that I still have these pains and things, but I know that God is doing a good work in me and he has healed me, and these things have to leave. So what are you confessing? You're saying, speaking about the facts are that there's still evidences of the problem. However, that you have also, you are declaring the goodness of God and the promise of God, and you're saying that promise of God, the truth is greater than the facts, and if the truth is going to change the facts, that's what you are declaring. You're declaring that God and the truth is greater than the facts that are present in this physical realm. You see, that's getting back to the fact or the truth of that the spiritual, there's two realms here. There's the physical and the spiritual. And something that is released in the spiritual and reinforced in the spiritual is going to overcome and take place and change the events or the happenings in the as far as physical realm. Because the spiritual is where things come from. Evil things and good things come from the spirit realm. There is an interaction there. We are not just physical. We're not just spiritual. There's an interaction. If you are way down physically, it can cause your spirits to go down too. So we have to guard both areas of our life. We have to remember the Word of God, to exalt it, to exalt God Almighty above everything else that we may have control over this natural realm. Now, we don't ever have total control, but we have things, the truth, that can manage this, and we can have trust in the one. See, the most important thing is the trust and the knowledge of the love of God. The first and greatest commandment in the Word of God is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then the second, this Jesus said, was like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, we have to concentrate on the first, because if we don't do the first, the second won't come. We don't don't even have to concentrate on the second, because if we do the first, then the second is going to come naturally. We're going to love ourselves, and we're going to be able to love others. And if we're loving ourselves and loving others and loving God, then that's how faith works. That's how prayer works. If we are loving, then that releases the power of faith. That's how faith comes about, and miracles come about, because we are trusting in what comes first, which is loving God. That allows then the love of ourselves, the love of other people, and faith to work miracles to happen because of who God is and because of his love for you and for me, and then our love for God and for our brothers. Therefore, we are moved with compassion, like Jesus was often moved with compassion to change people's lives, to heal them, to bring them back to death, from the death, and to deliver them from evil spirits because of his love and compassion for them. You see, that's where faith resides. It comes and works only when there's this love, and it empowers and strengthens. So that's what we want in our lives. We want the living God Almighty in our lives. So we read here that as far as we lack wisdom, ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, it will be given to him. But it says, ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven tossed by the wind. Don't let him expect to get anything. Well, how do we get past this? We want to get past this doubting. Well, the only way to get past the doubting is to start realizing the love of God. Well, if we start realizing that the love of God and his great love towards you, no matter how many sins you and I have committed, that he will forgive us if we ask him, if we trust in him, we trust in Jesus Christ, that he will forgive us, then the matter of the faith will come. And the faith, we can ask those things that we have need of, the wisdom that we need, because we desperately need wisdom in this age. There are lies, abundant lies out there, both in the natural and the spiritual realm. And so we need to be hold on to the rock, but not with our eyes closed, with our eyes open, seeing the things being tossed to and fro around us, but keeping our eyes unto Jesus. You see, that's the important thing, keeping our eyes unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now we want to go also to James a little bit later in the book of James, just over a few pages to chapter 5, verse 15, and it says, "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." As he goes on there, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And so, that's the word of God to us. The word of God says the prayer of faith will save the sick, and that the Lord will raise him up. Now, it's not the faith that will raise him up. It's faith in God. But you see, that comes through the love. We love God, and because we love God, and you seek first him, then you begin to be able to love yourself and others. And if you love others, then you start having love and compassion towards them. Because of that, that releases faith, and then you can believe that the love of God is for now. You see, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God did not change that he was at one time a God of miracles, and he's not anymore. No, he is the same. And he wants to be the same for you. You see, it says God is no respecter of persons. In other words, it's not because of somebody how great they were or how little they are. It's a matter of their trust in God. And so it's not something to work up. Our great work, the Bible says that there is one work, and that there's only one acceptable work. Now, all these other religions of the world have works that you and I are supposed to do to get right with God and everything, that we are supposed to go to him, well, pray God, Christianity is not like that at all. It is the opposite. It's a matter of God coming to man, not man trying to get to God. Because we are all going to fail if we try to get to God. But God wants to come to us, and we need to come to him and ask for him to come into our lives. We need to say, Father, forgive my sins. We need to say, Jesus, come into my life. Then the most important thing is, after that, after those two primary things, is then make me, yes, make me the kind of person you want me to be. So that's releasing God. It's saying, God, not only I want you to forgive my sins, not only I want you living in me, but now I want you to take over my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. In other words, he always wants good fruit. He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have good fruit that remains forever. In other words, what is good fruit? There's many types of good fruit, but those things that endure eternally are other people. So it cannot be a selfish thing. It can be a blessing to yourself, yes. He wants you to be blessed, but it's a blessing that will bless others and will glorify him, because that's why you were created. If you read the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, three times in that chapter, it says we are to be to the glory of God. That's why you and I were created, to glorify him. And you and I will only be truly fulfilled and truly happy and satisfied in everything as far as if that is true. If God comes in us, then his glory comes in us, then we will glorify him and we fulfill our purpose and our destiny. You see, that's the make me the kind of person you want me to be. He wants you to be a joy and a thanksgiving in the earth, that people might look on you, that might look on me with jealousy, saying, I want that. I'm hungry for that. How do I get it? Well, it's a process, but it starts with asking the Father to forgive your sins. It starts with the process of saying, Jesus, come into my heart. Starts with the process of then going on and saying, make me, yes, make me the kind of person you want me to be. Goes on with the process of saying, thank you, thank you, thank you for saving me. Thank you for this day. I don't understand some of these things that happened. Some of them seem terrible. And I'm not thanking you for the problem, but I'm thanking you in it. I'm thanking you that your love abides, whether things and circumstances are good or bad. And I am going to give you praise and thanksgiving to release you to come into these circumstances, to bring glory to yourself and to bless me. You see, that's what he wants. He wants glory for his name and for us to be blessed. Now, what better thing is that than that, that he wants you to be blessed? And he wants you, your family to be blessed. He wants your life to be blessed. He wants blessings, blessings, blessings to come upon you in every area of your life. Oh, people, God loves you. God loves you so greatly. Turn your heart towards him. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Say, Father, forgive my sins. Say, Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Oh, God, make me, make me, make me the kind of person you want me to be. Oh, thank you for saving me. Because when you become what he wants you to be, you will be truly blessed. You will be, the glory of God will come in you, and the glory of God then will be spread in the earth. It will bless your family. Now that doesn't mean people are going to respond immediately by that, because they remember the old you. And they'll look at you and they think you are strange. And they might not understand you. You're not the same sort of person. There's something different about you. Some will resist it and hate it just because they can't understand. A lot of people hate things they can't understand. If our life changes dramatically all of a sudden and people can't understand it, well, you see, if you fall in love with God, I'm not just asking you to come to the Lord, but I'm saying fall in love with him and seek him daily, re- have a Bible reading program right now that I know that our pastor, who's the mayor of the city of Yakima, about 100,000 people, and it's the first time our even though there's only 4% of the our area, this is the least church state in the nation, the state of Washington. Only 4% of the people go to church on Sunday. And yet, our mayor, our vice mayor, are both pastors or youth leaders in churches. In fact, the assistant mayor is amazing that here you've got about a 22, 23-year-old or something like that that is the assistant mayor of the whole city. But he's filled with the Spirit of God. What's happening? Why are these people that are unchurched and don't care about religion, and yet they have, in the last few years, in the last 4 or 5 years, have elected as far as almost all Christians? Why? It doesn't make sense. They're not Christians, yet they've elected Christians because they see hope. They see that there can be a difference in their community, that they want a difference in their community. These people never ran at all on their Christian beliefs as far as saying anything about Christ. But it was evident in their life. Because it was evident in their life, their love and care for people, that's why they were elected. It wasn't because they were a Christian or a non-Christian. It just so happened that because of their love and care for people, that's why people turned to them, because they cared for them. Well, that's what's supposed to happen with Christianity, is the love and care for people causes people to turn to God. So, may God bless you this week, and may God truly come into your life in every area as Savior, baptizer with the Holy Spirit, and with healing resurrection power. May God bless you. By the way, today is my birthday. I am 1 year older, 1 year closer to seeing Jesus Christ face to face, and I'm looking forward to the day that I do. Amen. Hope to be with you again next week. Bye-bye.